You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Spent a good portion of the show reminiscing about Kobe Bryant. And he passed away. It was a year ago today. We were actually in Miami at the Super Bowl. And we brought back some of our favorite interviews. Jerry West, Reggie Miller, Kobe himself. And Ramona Shelburne from the Mothership, who had a great relationship with Kobe, joined us last hour. If you missed that interview or any of our interviews, go to danpatrick.com. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. Say good morning to Peacock. That's our TV partner and also our great radio affiliates around the country. We have a poll question. I don't know if we're staying with the poll question, McLovin. It's Aaron Rodgers related.
So will he retire a Packer, which is kind of open-ended because I think the question is this offseason. 74% say no, he will not end up a Packer. I have a question. Just how long do you think he'll play? Because he's talked about going for a while. He's not like saying I'm almost done.
I don't know what he wants to do when he's done with football. That would probably help me understand if you want to continue to play and you're not quite sure what you're doing when you decide to retire. Drew Brees has a TV job. Greg Olson just retired. He has a TV job. Feels like Jason Witten of the Raiders is going to go into coaching at some point when he's done. I don't know what these players want to do. What's Ben Roethlisberger want to do? What's Brady do when he retires? I think we always go, well, the fallback plan is to be a broadcaster. I don't know. I mean, Philip Rivers, I guess, is going to be a broadcaster. They may put him in the Monday Night Football booth. I don't know if the other quarterbacks want to do that or other players want to do that. Greg Olson is going to go in the booth. Jason Witten had his moment on Monday Night Football. Maybe they look at that Tony Romo money and go, man, on second thought, I mean, if you're Tom Brady, do you want to be an analyst? If you could make $20 million a year, let's just say, if Tony Romo's worth 17, what's Tom Brady worth? What's Peyton worth? I would pay Peyton more because I think he's more of a student of the game in his approach. Like, he created his own system. Not that Brady couldn't do it, but Peyton, it feels like, would be more analytical, or he would be more comfortable talking to you about what he sees during a play. And then, you know, Romo has always told you what's going to happen before the play. Feels like Peyton would be even better than that. But if you're going to pay, and I think Peyton wants to be in the front office, it feels like. Maybe more of an Elway role than a Tony Romo role. But what would you pay for Tom Brady in 2 years? $20 million? What would you pay for Peyton Manning? What would you pay for Aaron Rodgers? But they strike me as they want to do something different than just that. Maybe Aaron wants to host Jeopardy. I think he's going to get his chance here in a couple of weeks where he's going to be the fill-in host there. They got Ken Jennings who did it. Katie Couric, I think, is going to do it. Aaron Rodgers is going to do it. And I was asked if I wanted to be considered. I want to make sure that I have this on record because people have asked me since I did 100 episodes of Sports Jeopardy. It was on the Jeopardy set with the great staff there that Alex Trebek had. Everything that we did is what Alex would do for the last 33 years. I had all of those people working on Sports Jeopardy. And I was approached about if I wanted to be considered as one of the hosts for Jeopardy. And I said I did not. Because if they're looking for people and they're trying to find a replacement for Alex Trebek, good luck with that. It's a commitment. I have a great job here, and I was honored that they would even consider me for that opportunity, but I wasn't interested in that. I didn't want to take up the space. I didn't want to do it and say, hey, I'm going to take a victory lap and do Jeopardy. That was never my approach. I even told Alex I was not interested in hosting this because there were articles or conversation that was the heir apparent to Alex Trebek doing Sports Jeopardy. And when we went to dinner, I said to Alex, just so you know, I am not interested in doing Jeopardy. And I don't know if he even thought about me doing it, but I wanted him to know that I'm in the room. I'm doing it on his set. It's his. I mean, I didn't want any part of that. honored, flattered, love the people I work with, but I didn't want to go, you know, and host sports or regular Jeopardy. It'd be a wonderful challenge, opportunity, but I'm that's not what I want to do. Yeah, Paul.
You did see the schedule, didn't you?
Yeah, I know.
Alex, you did see the paycheck.
Alex was working 50.
40. He told us when we had him in studio maybe 4 years ago, I think he told us he works 43 days a year.
Yeah.
Like 40 is scheduled.
Yeah.
I mean, those days are full days.
Yes.
You know, it's a 12-hour day, but 43 of them. Yeah. Remember, he also told us he never once asked for a raise. He said he didn't want to be difficult. He realized he had a great job, and they gave him raises.
Yeah.
It was great.
But you're doing 5 shows a day, and he was such a machine. Because when I did Sports Jeopardy, now granted, I did the radio show in Los Angeles, so I would do 3 hours at 6 in the morning till 9. I would get out of the building at DirecTV, and then I would go to the Sony lot, and then we would go through all 4 of the games, all the storyboards there with all the clues, and then I'd have something to eat, get dressed, and we would start at 11 o'clock, and we would usually finish at around 5. And that was just doing 4 shows in a day was a grind, and here's Alex doing 5 shows in a day. And that's why he was able to work less than 50 days out of the year. Yeah, McClubbin.
Do you think you could have done the content? I mean, the sports show was in your wheelhouse, obviously. Like, I feel like Mesopotamia and all those weird answers is a different
yeah, thing. I struggled to do Sports Jeopardy.
Really?
Yes, because it's not the clues, it's the traffic. When there's 3 people, the pace is what is really, really hard to get. And, you know, this is what Alex said. You know, Alex said, you got to get the cadence down. Once you get tempo down, it helps. But what happened is you would have contestants who would jump around the board. Instead of going, I'll take famous NFL coaches for 200 and then famous NFL coaches for 300. They would go all the way over here to great field goal kickers for 800. So you're trying to follow all of this, get out the clue, wait for the answer, make sure it's the right answer, cross that off, and then move on. And I knew probably 80% of the answers. But even then, it was still difficult. I would have had a hard time. And anybody who thinks they can do Jeopardy, it's really, really difficult. You do it, and then you tell me if you think you can do it. Because it took me, I'm going to guess, 30 episodes of Sports Jeopardy where I truly felt like this is my show. I'm comfortable doing this. And if you're coming in and you're doing 5, it's really difficult. And Alex made it look so easy that he had that flow, that tempo. And you really have to have gravitas. Like, you have to, when you stand up there, that people believe you. And Alex had that gravitas that you believed in him. And I think that'll be very difficult for some people. And I've seen a lot of names thrown around there, and I wish you the best of luck. But I will say, go in with eyes wide open, because you are going to be, I was going to say surprised. You'll be shocked at how quickly it moves and trying to just keep your thoughts organized. And I was doing it in sports where I had a home field advantage. And they're going to be hard-pressed to find somebody, you know, to take over for Alex. Yeah, Paul.
I watched you tape some of those shows and what Alex had to do and what you had to do. I think one of the biggest things is you get 3 different contestants every show. Those are 3 different personalities. One person could be good on air. One person cannot be good on air. And you have to tell the story with them, and they may not play back and forth with you. You have to be prepared in real time to clean up their mess, yeah, or make them more interesting. And then you got 3 more dudes or 3 more people, 3 more men and women in the next half hour.
But there will be times when you make mistakes. And I tried to do it and be perfect. And Harry Friedman, the longtime executive producer, he said, he pulled me aside one time and he goes, Alex makes mistakes. And I go, he does? He goes, yes, he does. He said, don't worry about it. Alex makes mistakes. And after that, I kind of went, all right, well, Alex makes mistakes. I'll make a mistake or two. And then they clean it up, and you'd never know, you know, once it's put on TV. But I can't say enough about the people that I worked with there, as good and professional as anybody I've ever worked with, but I did not want to be considered for that opportunity. And, let the other ones sort it out, and good luck with that, and you'll need it. Let me see. You know, we played a couple of these clips. Here was one that we were surprised about. We had Derrick Henry on at the Super Bowl last year, and it felt like everybody had a Kobe story, including Derrick Henry, the great Titans running back. He had this to say last year at the Super Bowl.
We're at the ESPYs. But yeah. It was my rookie year. I was after I got drafted, and Kobe was walking up. He had all black. He was with his wife, and I was talking to her. I was like, "That's Kobe. I'm gonna say something. I was like, what should I say? What should I say? I kept asking her. She was like, "This be yourself. This say something." I was like, "What if he don't know me? What if he don't say nothing to me? What if he like he don't know who I am?" She was like, "He knows who you are." And he walks by, and I just froze. I didn't say nothing. I don't know if it's so weird. That's the first time I ever got like that. I couldn't say anything.
What would you have said?
I don't even know. That's why I couldn't say that. I don't know what I could have said.
You should have been carrying the Heisman with you. That would have helped.
Maybe that would have helped.
Oh, Derrick. And you could, he was even nervous sort of telling that story that he missed that opportunity to say something to Kobe. And he goes, I don't know what to say. I don't know if he knows who I am. But we just had so many of those moments a year ago at the Super Bowl. LeBron went for 46 last night against the Cavs. And I guess there was a Cleveland employee, front office person, who was courtside, who clapped after LeBron missed a shot at the end of the third quarter. And LeBron thought that he was, a little too excited after LeBron's miss. And then LeBron outscored the Cavaliers in the fourth quarter. You're starting to get conversation about MVPs. Of course, no matter what sport, you got to start it early. Joel Embiid getting a lot of conversation about MVP. The Orange County Register a couple of days ago had the case for LeBron winning the MVP and for him not winning the MVP. The Lakers have the best record in the NBA, and 9 of the last 12 MVPs have come from the winningest regular season team. Best player on the best team automatically makes you an MVP candidate, period. He also leads in individual plus-minus. Lakers have outscored opponents by 148 points when he's on the court and only by 11 points when he's off. The Lakers have the best five-man lineup of any group in the NBA that's played at least 75 minutes. Also, leading scorer, leading assist man, which usually has little something to do with winning games. I think LeBron is not obsessed, but he is motivated to win the MVP. Because I think in his mind, hey, I'm going to win the title. I'm the regular season MVP. I reinvented myself. And at my age, and I'm leading the NBA in assists. And I'm being a leader. This was a new story. The Greek Freak was a new story. Harden, what he did. Westbrook, you know, Luka Doncic is now, you know, this will be his year. But you know what? His team is not very good right now. LeBron's been doing this at a high level for two decades. I would say deep down he wants to. I don't know if he would say it publicly, but I would say deep down that's the motivation, is he wants to be the MVP. And he's going to make sure that he's the MVP this year. Yeah, Paul.
This might be weird, but is it better for LeBron or his supporters if he doesn't win MVP? Because people like us will say, I can't believe they're slighting him again. Or when his career is over, he only won 4 or however many he has, 3. It's like Phil Jackson only winning a few or Michael Jordan not getting them. The spotlight goes on them when they don't win it more than they do. If he win it, it's like, oh, LeBron got another.
Well, I think he went through that last year.
Yeah.
Where it's like, man, I don't know. But, you know, the Greek Freak was on the team with the best record. Did that make him the most valuable? I didn't think so. I thought LeBron was also a great story at his age doing what he was doing. And then they win the title. But I don't know. Joel Embiid's going to put up incredible numbers this year. LeBron's not going to put up incredible numbers. He's shooting better from three-point range than he ever has in his career. So I don't know what is going to impact these voters when they look at this. But if the Lakers have the best record in the NBA, LeBron's going to win the MVP. I truly believe that. Patrick Mahomes is going to join us on Thursday.
Mahomes from the Chiefs?
Yep. Yep. He is going to join us. Yes. Yes, Tom.
And Derrick Henry, who we just shared that Kobe story, he's also going to be part of Thursday's show.
All right. Are you guaranteeing Mahomes joins us?
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and guarantee that.
Ooh, man.
I don't like to do that because anything can happen. You get these messages, oh, wait a second, something came up, or the meetings and schedules changed.
You just guaranteed it.
I did. I can't take
back now. No, you can't. No take backs.
No take backs.
Yeah, you guaranteed it.
Patrick Mahomes, Dan Patrick Show.
On Thursday.
What happens if that doesn't happen? What do I win anything, lose anything on this guarantee? Is there eyes involved?
How about you have to wear a medium Tampa Bay t-shirt? No, medium Chiefs t-shirt. How about a medium Patrick Mahomes?
I can't squeeze it. I can barely get it to a large. You're going to put me in a medium?
That's the punishment.
Okay, but then what happens on the other side? There's a lot of what happens to me, but like if there's a bet, usually there's something happens to the other side.
Well, you get the victory lap. You get...
That's not anything. A victory lap.
I mean, Super Bowl coming up, you get Patrick Mahomes.
Let's just hope I don't have to squeeze it for the sake of everyone, and especially for people not losing their lunch.
You get Patrick Mahomes, I'll start every segment and say something nice about you.
That would work.
3 hours.
That would be nice.
All right.
3 hours?
Yeah.
That's a lot. You're going to run out of things by the last part of the first hour, I would think.
But Paulie,
no one wants to see me in a medium shirt. That's going to be terrible.
Paulie, script some things for me to say. Nice things to say about Todd.
Can I make them up like usual?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But it could be just, hey, Todd, I enjoy your company. And then I just move on.
That's a little weak, though.
No, it's going to be a compliment, Todd. Mm-hmm. That's it.
I'll take what I can get.
Yeah. I would love to see you in a...
I don't think you would. I don't think anybody needs to see that.
Yeah, I think so. Look, it looks like you're in a medium.
This is actually an XL. I don't know if it's shrunk in the wash. That tells you a lot about my situation.
I don't think it's
the
washer's fault. I don't think.
What is it, the cheese doodle's fault? The subs? The pizza?
I don't know. So Patrick Mahomes will join us coming up. Let's see. Anything else I need to mention here? Jimmer Fredette is going to join us from China. Jimmer scored 70 points in his last game. Yes, Todd?
And someone had sent us a tweet. 10 years ago today, he had a big game for BYU. Jimmer Fredette scored 43. It's the 10th anniversary of that game against San Diego State.
That was Paulie's This Day in Sports History.
We do This Day in Sports History at the end
of the
show.
I know, but you just took it.
I thought Paulie
is 20 minutes away from This Day in Sports History, and you know
it. Jimmer is coming on like next, and I thought it would be a nice way to tease. You just mentioned his 70-point game. I'm adding the fact that 10 years ago today, he had a 43-point game. That wasn't trying to steal anything. This is a prelude to why you should tune in for Jimmer Fredette. It's an extra special day.
Paulie's not trying to book Patrick Mahomes.
He's not. That was not meant at all. I didn't even think of that as like that I was stepping on Paulie's toes there.
Of course you didn't.
It's just a little factoid that's fun.
Okay. All right. So Jimmer Fredette, what time is it in China?
It's going to be 12:25 at night tomorrow morning, 13 hours later in China, when he joins us in a few minutes.
So he's up late to join us after scoring 70 points.
He loves you and the Dan Patrick Show. I don't know who else does interviews at 12:30 at night overseas.
Yeah, Paul.
Every time we have Jimmer Fredette on, we do a five-minute conversation before the show is, why is he in China scoring 70 and not on the... Well, let's say the Atlanta Hawks scoring 15.
I don't know. I never know this. I think that today's NBA would be suited for him. You know, I can't put a hand on you. You know, he can shoot from deep. It seems like he would be a weapon coming off the bench. I don't know. He's the guy in China. He scored 70, a triple-double. But Monday night or Sunday night or I don't know what day it was, but it was – a couple of days ago in China.
It was like Sunday night / Monday morning, if you can follow the
no, I can't.
The time zones.
All right, so Jimmer Fredette will join us from China coming up. We'll get to phone calls as well. It's 21 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. Any credit card can offer cash back, but only Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. It's like getting one of those birthday cards that's shaped like cash, so you already know that there's cash inside before opening. But in this case, it's stuffed with your first year cashback match. You don't even have to send a thank you note. Cashback match only by Discover Card. Learn more at discover.com/match. Discover.com/match. Discover, something brighter. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. We'll get to your phone calls coming up. He's referred to as the Lonely Master in China. He is Jimmer Fredette. He just turned 31, and he is playing for the Shanghai Sharks. He scored 70 points in the game, the former BYU star. In fact, it was 10 years ago today, Jimmer, that you had 43 points as BYU beat San Diego State. Kawhi Leonard was playing for San Diego State at the time. He scored 22. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dan. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. And yes, those were great memories 10 years ago, that's for sure.
What do you remember about Kawhi Leonard back then?
I mean, the thing about Kawhi is like, you know, he was only there for 2 years, but, you know, I played him those 2 years and from his freshman year to his sophomore year, you could tell he got substantially better, especially offensively. He was always gifted athletically. Rebounded extremely well. You know, that was one of the big things to try to keep him off the glass, but he could just play defense. He affected the game in so many different ways. But then sophomore year, he started shooting, you know, a little bit more from mid-range and from the three-point area, you know, just got a little bit better offensively. And then obviously as he got into the NBA, you know, he's just, you know, blown up. He's played unbelievable basketball.
So you scored 70 a couple of days ago. Did you score 70 on purpose?
No, not really. I definitely just wanted to go out there and just be aggressive.
Did you know
and play my game? It just was.
But did
one
you
of those
know
games,
you had 70?
One of those games.
Did you know you were like, hey, you got 64. You got. You can get 70.
Oh. I definitely knew what my point total was because, I mean, the scoreboard is right there. You can see your points. You know, throughout the whole game. So obviously, you're aware of what's going on. But at the end of the game, you know, I got a steal at the end of the game and it was just kind of one of those things where I was at 68 and I got an easy steal and was able to go in and, you know, make it for the 70th point. You know, so I wasn't planning on it, but, you know, it happened and, you know, it was a fun night for sure.
Have you ever scored 70 before in a game?
Actually, I have. So this is actually my, this is my third time scoring over 70 in the CBA. So I've scored 75, 73, and then this is my 70. So I've done it three times. The only player to ever do it in the CBA, I guess. So,
the talent that you're playing against is comparable to what?
You know, these guys they're good players. I mean, they're good professional basketball players. I mean, it's not, you know, European, EuroLeague level, you know, but they're really good players. They're strong, athletic guys. Several of these Chinese guys have played, you know, have had a little bit of stints in the NBA or in the G League or in some of those things, you know, obviously, but they're high level players, but what they are is they're strong and they're physical, especially on the defensive end. I mean, they come after, you know, the Americans every single night. They don't want you to score the basketball. They'll double, triple team you. They'll foul you. You know, they'll push you to do everything they can to get in under your skin and in your head. So it's definitely not easy on a nightly basis. But we have the ball in our hands so much that sometimes you're able to just, you know, have a great game and just start feeling it.
But how concerned were you? You know, here you are married. You got two kids. You're going to China. You got COVID. You know, the Hong Kong situation with the NBA, with Daryl Morey's comments. Like, was there any trepidation about going back to China?
For me, obviously, you know, during this period of COVID, that was, you know, the biggest concern for us. You know, but we knew coming over here that we were probably going to be in a bubble for the whole season, and we have been. So as long as we were able to get the visa, that was probably the hardest thing to do, was to actually get the visa to be able to come over to play. But I knew that I was going to be over here for a long period of time without my family. So that's by far the hardest thing. I haven't been able to see him for 4 months.
Nope.
And, you know, we'll play another 2 months over here, at least until we go back home. So, I mean, I have two young ones, and that's not easy, but it's a sacrifice you make sometimes as an overseas basketball player. So I'm blessed to be able to have an opportunity to play still and make money and be able to provide for my family. So you have to look at it that way sometimes.
But if you weren't playing in China, what would you be doing? Where would you be playing?
I'd probably be playing in the EuroLeague still. I was with Panathinaikos in Greece last year, which was a great experience. I loved Athens. Really, really awesome to be able to go around Europe and see all the cool cities in Europe and be able to play against some great basketball teams and basketball players. I had a second year option to go back to Greece, but we decided not to. And this opportunity with Shanghai came back up, and decided to take this one. And it's been fun.
The Jimmer Fredette Family Foundation's mission is to spread kindness and strengthen families so they can raise children with strong moral character. And they come to the aid of youth who are hungry, cold, bullied, or afraid. It's the Fredette Family Foundation. Your first NBA game, I believe, was against Kobe Bryant?
Yes. Yes, it was. Obviously, this is the year anniversary of his passing, and that was so tragic. I remember, last year when we were in Greece, my wife and I were sitting on the couch and we got the news, and it was just absolutely devastating for everybody involved, not, with Kobe's family, but also the other families that were involved in the helicopter crash. But, my first game, I walked in, I subbed into the game, and we were playing against the Lakers. I was with the Sacramento Kings, so it was a little rivalry. Everyone was amped up, and I walk in, and of course, the first person that guards me is Kobe Bryant. And he walks right up to me and just puts his forearm right into my chest and just says, "Welcome to the NBA." And I was like, "All right, here we go. Me versus Kobe." So it was a welcome to the NBA moment for sure.
How did you do?
I think I was scared to take the first couple of shots. I think he was like stepping back and giving me those shots too. He was like, "All right, almost daring me to shoot it." And that's what I do, but your first NBA game, you're just like, you don't know exactly what's going on. You're just trying to figure it all out. And as I got into the game, I got a little bit better, but those first couple of possessions were definitely something that I remember.
We ask this every time we have you on. Why aren't you on an NBA roster?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's a mixture of a lot of different reasons, obviously. But at this point, I've had a couple of chances in the NBA, and some places have been better than others. But ultimately, my path has led me over to Shanghai and playing in Europe and playing in China. It's more recently. And, it's been a great opportunity and situation for me. So honestly, I'm grateful and happy for the situation that I've been able to find over here, been able to succeed and do really well, make a name for myself over here, not only just in China, but back in the US, people are still, seeing the highlights and seeing how I'm doing, which has been really, really great to be able to do. The NBA has been it was a great opportunity for me, but, it didn't work out necessarily exactly how I thought it would, or many people thought it would, but it hasn't stopped me from continuing to play at a high level of basketball.
But would you rather be the man in China or a bench player in the NBA?
It depends on the situation. Like if I was a bench player that was coming in and playing, there I was allowed to play my game and was, playing 20 minutes a game and able to be a really integral part of a team, then I would love to be able to do that. I know, obviously, I'd love to be able to compete against the best in the world and be able to make an impact on a team like that. But being here in China and being able to have the impact that I've had, not just on the court, but off the court, has been something that's been special. So I'd rather be doing that than necessarily just sitting on an NBA bench just to sit there. I think it's been better for my career and better for the impact.
Is your nickname the Lonely Master?
Yeah, it's the Lonely Master. So it's Jimo Dashen is what it's called. And Jimo means lonely. And it sounds like Jimmer, Jimo. And that's how people kind of pronounce my name over here. They can't really pronounce the ER. So they say Jimo, Jimo. And it means lonely. And then they put Dashen at the end, which means actually God, I guess. And then we changed it kind of to Lonely Master. So I didn't want to be known as a God. So I just said, let's do the Lonely Master.
But is it lonely? So lonely is based on how they pronounce your name. They don't think you're lonely. Yeah. They just, I mean, you are sort of lonely.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of a double meaning for it. What they told me, the interpretation from what my teammates told me, the fans said that, you know, GMO, obviously you're alone. You're kind of over here by yourself. You're not with your family for one thing, but also it kind of means like you're kind of on the top of the mountain and no one can kind of reach your level. You know what I mean? So they're kind of saying like it's lonely on the top. And that's kind of the double meaning for it. And my first year that I got here, I got that that nickname. And we had a great season, was MVP of the year. So it kind of just stuck, I guess.
Are they going to build a statue? Doesn't Stephon Marbury have a statue over there, Jimmer?
Yeah, he does. He does out inside of the Beijing Arena. I don't know if I'm at that level. I mean, he's, you know, the biggest thing that has been over here, and his team won 3 championships while he was there in Beijing, and they hadn't won for a long time. So, we haven't won any championships yet. Maybe if we get one, we'll see. But, yeah, he's got the statue out in front of the Beijing Arena.
Could you give me 100 in a game over there?
Maybe we'll see. It's gonna have to go into like 4 or 5 overtimes probably, but you know, I'll try for you. I'll try.
But you get the green light, right? You can shoot whenever you want to.
Yes.
Right?
You definitely get the green light. They want you to score. Like, they bring you over here specifically to score the basketball. You know, like, that's what they're looking for. The Chinese players expect that from you. You have the ball in your hands. You know, if you're a scorer, they want you to score. If you're a guy if you're a big guy, you know, they want you to get 20 rebounds a game, you know, 5 blocks, you know, that type of thing. They bring you over here for a reason. You know, obviously you don't score, you know, 70 points every night, but every once in a while you're able to feel good. And I felt good last night and was able to make shots.
And you don't have to play any defense, right?
Only on certain occasions, of course.
Yeah, this is just like BYU. But, you don't have to play any defense, and you get to shoot. You got the green light, Jimmer.
Hey, you can do whatever you want. You gotta stick to your lane. Do what you're good at, right?
What is behind you? Like, is that your apartment?
So I'm in a hotel. I'm in my hotel room right now.
Okay.
And we're in Juji, China. And so I've been in this hotel room for 4 months. So this has been what I've been seeing for the last 4 months, just kind of this curtain behind me and this small little room that we're in. So yeah, it's definitely interesting.
Is there like a Buffalo Wild Wings over there, or a Jersey Mike's sub, or you know, like, is there anything that reminds you of home?
I mean, in this city, no. So it's funny because, you know, this city is considered a small city in China, but there's 7 million people here. And that's just kind of what they consider a small city. And, you know, so, but the thing is, we can't actually leave the bubble. So I've been we've been in the hotel, and they have, you know, a buffet that's prepared for us every day. And basically my meal is, you know, I get a salad with some white rice and chicken breast every day. And that's what I've been eating for the last 4 months. So I feel like I'm on a bodybuilding diet. So I feel healthy and feel good. But not anything of normalcy at this point. But hopefully when I get back to Shanghai, and I'll be able to get some stuff.
Lonely Master. He's the Lonely Master joining us from China. Hey, congrats, Jimmer. And hope you get a chance to see your family here soon. And good luck over there. And, you know, next time you go over 70, we'll have you back on again.
Sounds good, Dan. I appreciate it. Thank you. Love the show.
Thank you, buddy. That's Jimmer Fredette joining us from somewhere in China. Shanghai Sharks point guard. This show is huge in China, by the way.
Ah.
Our Beijing affiliate, they love us over there.
The meet and greet we did there in 2008.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I didn't know what that meet was, but we did a meet and greet over there in Beijing.
There are 15 cities in China that are over 10 million people. Dang. Jimmer said 7 million. It's small.
I might be able to get 20. I might be able to get 20 over there in China. I think so. I mean, they might rough me up a little bit, though. Great to have him on, and he's had 5 different opportunities with NBA teams. So, you watch Trae Young and you go, can Jimmer do that? I think Fredette is the same age as Steph Curry. They seem similar, but they're not. Yeah, McLovin.
I don't know about that lifestyle, being in that hotel room for 4 months with white rice and chicken.
No, no.
I want at least a Disney bubble.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay, in Atlanta on the bench, coming off, giving you 8 to 10 minutes as opposed to scoring 70 in China. Yes, Todd?
You get the green light if you're playing in China.
I know. That's the key. You give me the green light.
Does a coach give you that look like, easy with the chuck in there?
No. If you give me the green light, I'll play anywhere. Doesn't matter.
That's Jimmer.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We'll take a break. We'll get phone calls coming up, and we're back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Let me sneak in some phone calls here. 877-3DP-SHOW. Coming up tomorrow on the program, Carson Palmer will join us. We've got his Heisman Trophy here in the Man Cave. And the speedster from the Buccaneers, Smoke Miller, Scotty Miller, will join us on the program as well. We'll see if we can come up with a new nickname for him. Make it seem like he's a little bit. Maybe he doesn't want to sound faster. Yeah, Paulie?
Just because he's fast doesn't mean he's not both gritty and gutty.
Yeah.
But you don't lead with gritty and gutty.
Yeah. He's a coach on the field. He's a lunch pail guy. First guy in, last guy to leave. Wouldn't it be great if he's none of those things?
Like his dad did not coach football or like football?
Like he's the last guy in and the first guy to leave. Jeff in Detroit. Jeff, what's your question for me today?
Hey, what up, though, Dan? It's just basically I wanted to tell you, I know it isn't easy for you. I'm sending you a big belly hug. I've always known that whenever you interview Kobe, you've always gotten the best out of him. It was more or less a talk opposed to an interview, and you had some good conversations with him. I mean, you really did a wonderful job with him, and I know it couldn't be easy. He was one of your favorites. I know people in Green Bay are going to hate me when I say this, but right about now, if you had breaking live news on Peacock and they decided to go with the pre-recording opposed to which you do every day, all day long, that would be sick, man. That would really be sick. I honestly feel that with Aaron in the situation that he's in, for everybody's sake, I hope he stays in Green Bay, because if he moves around, man, people are going to be jumping off of mountaintops in Green Bay. I really do.
I don't know what kind of mountains they have there in Green Bay, but maybe they'll find some. Thank you, Jeff.
There's some small ski hills in the upper,
maybe something like
Wisconsin.
That. And, Kobe had to want to play. Like, whenever he came on, he viewed it as a conversation, but you had to work him a little bit. I had to go after him and find some things that I could bring out in him. But I think these guys are competitors. And I always view some guys, I just view it as a competition. My competition is I got to try to get something out of you. And then they may be competitive in return, making you work a little bit. And a lot of times it's talking about things that they don't normally talk about. And that's where you can get something, or at least they allow you in. And then once you're in, it's up to you and what kind of questions you have. Rich in Kentucky. Hi, Rich. What's on your mind today?
Hey, bud.
Hey, bud.
First time, long time, 6'2", 210. Thanks for that. So I just wanted to weigh in with the Rodgers Jordan Love topic. Something I've been thinking about that doesn't seem to be gotten a lot of conversation is it pretty much it happened the same way with Aaron Rodgers. Sat behind Favre for 3 years, right? He didn't start till his fourth year. And maybe you give Jordan Love under Rodgers 2 more years. Rodgers is under contract till, I think, 2 more years. He'll be 39 at that time. You got to find out if Jordan Love is your guy, obviously. And if he is, great. Then you start him year 4 like you did with Rodgers. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it really, though, you're going to get Jordan Love, and thanks for the phone call, and then you're going to have to sign him up for that fifth-year option. And you've gotten nothing out of him probably for the next couple of years, and then all of a sudden you're going to turn the team over to him. Rodgers fell into their lap at the end of the first round, because the discussion going into that draft was, who's going number one, Alex Smith or Aaron Rodgers? And Aaron fell all the way to the end of the first round. And I think the Packers just went, he's the best guy available. They didn't trade up to get him. He just fell into their lap. And if I'm Favre, I'm not pleased about it either. They were right about Aaron Rodgers. We're going to find out if they're right about Jordan Love. But part of the beauty of drafting a quarterback in the first round is I get him with a salary that is not going to have an impact on my team in a detrimental way. I can use that money to spread the wealth around. That's why Seattle was able to keep the Legion of Boom together. A lot of these great teams, you know, they keep the team together because if it's based off a rookie contract, you can still do that and pay the veterans. You know, Dak Prescott, you're able to bring those players in. He didn't make anything. That's where you build a championship team. David in Illinois. Hi, David.
Hey, Dan. Hey, listen, man, my whole thing is Detroit dilemma. What's going on with our quarterback? We got all new stuff. The Fords never spend money. We lost two Hall of Famers and Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson because the Fords won't spend money. Now we have a whole new management team, and we're going to get rid of our best asset, which is Stafford. So what are we going
to
do?
I go back to what I was told prior to the draft, that the Lions kicked the tires on Tua Tagovailoa. But from what I was told, the coaching staff knew if they didn't make the playoffs this year, they were going to be fired. They wanted to have Matthew Stafford. They thought he obviously gave them a better chance of winning and making the playoffs. They drafted Jeff Okuda, and that didn't work out, but they did look at Tua as moving on from Matthew Stafford last year. That's what I was told leading up to the draft. Paulie, this day in sports history.
Jimmer Fredette did something against in 1997, Dan, the Super Bowl 31 halftime show, Green Bay Packers versus New England Patriots, 1997. If anyone could guess even one of the three musical acts that performed at halftime, I will buy your lunch.
Boyz II Men.
1997. No good guess, but 1997.
Britney Spears.
A little early.
Aerosmith.
Andrew's a lot closer. Fritzy?
NSYNC.
Not bad. ZZ Top. Ooh. James Brown and the Blues Brothers without John Belushi.
Ooh.
That's the 1997 Super Bowl 31 Packers Patriots.
Todd, what'd you learn today?
Brett Favre thinks the Jags should take Devontae Smith over Trevor Lawrence with the first overall pick. What?
McLovin?
You're not going to do Jeopardy, but the Chinese Basketball League might be an option for you moving forward.
Seton O'Connor, what'd you learn?
Jimmer on a strict diet.
Yeah, and he zoomed from China, which was great. Paulie?
Jimmer's in a small town in China of 7 million people.
Everybody wants to keep their home and family safe, whether it's from a break-in, fire, flooding, or medical emergency. SimpliSafe Home Security delivers 24/7 protection. Visit SimpliSafeDan.com today. Get a free security camera. Thanks for joining us. Our pleasure to serve you. Appreciate the phone calls, the emails, and the tweets. Do it again tomorrow for Fritzy, McLovin, Seton, Paulie. I'm Dan Patrick. This has been The Dan Patrick Show. One more item as we close out the show. The Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes is back on again this year. What could you do with $50,000? Well, you can find out because Rocket Mortgage is hosting the largest official game of Super Bowl Squares ever with millions of dollars in prizes. You can enter for free and you have a chance to win $50,000 every time the score changes. Plus, two lucky players will win $500,000 they could use towards their dream home. Touchdowns, field goals, extra points, every scoring play pays. Rocket Mortgage will be announcing the winners live on their channels during the game. Follow along on February 7th to see if you're a winner and you can play. Enter for free, rocketmortgagesquares.com, and no purchase necessary. Legal residents of the 50 U.S. states and D.C. who are the age of majority. Now, this ends on February 4th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS number 3030. rocketmortgagesquares.com.